word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Nothing is worse than the memory of a mistake. It seems to follow you wherever you go, and it seems to haunt you with shame and with sorrow. If you try to make it right, there's just never really a sense that it's been enough, you know. But the Bible offers us a blessing and a promise with the power to shatter our sin and erase the shame that lurks with it. And that promise is that in Christ Jesus, we can be justified. To be justified means that we've been set free, that things have been made right between us and God, that the record against us has been cleared, and we have been declared righteous. When a person is justified, then that means that God looks at that person just as if he had never sinned. When God justifies a person, not only do they become free from the punishment of their sin, but they can also be free from the guilt and the shame as well. There's a story told about a wealthy English businessman who traveled to New York City and stayed there for a few years, in fact. He had his Rolls Royce shipped to the United States, and after a time, he had a mechanical failure. The man called England to explain the problem to the Rolls-Royce headquarters, and their response was, "We understand, sir, we apologize for any inconvenience, and you can expect a mechanic there within 48 hours to repair your car." So they put the mechanic on a plane with all of the necessary parts, and they flew him to the United States. And soon, the car was fixed to the owner's satisfaction, and the mechanic was on a plane back to England. When the time came for the businessman to return home, he had the Rolls put on a ship and sent back to England. After he arrived back home several months later, he realized that he never received a repair bill for that. So he wrote to the home office a letter explaining that this date last year there was a problem with my Rolls Royce. You flew a mechanic over to repair it. I was completely satisfied, but to date I have not received a bill, and I am happy to pay for any repairs. He received a reply back that stated, "Our records here indicate that there has never been anything wrong with the Rolls Royce that you speak of." Now, everyone knows that that wasn't true, but that's what the record shows. On a much grander scale, that's what we're talking about with justification. When it's all said and done, and we stand before God in judgment, and the books are open, those who are justified are going to be declared righteous. They're going to be rewarded as if they have never committed any sin whatsoever, as though there has never been one single failure in their lives. And everyone knows that that's not really what happened. But in God's account, that's the way it's going to unfold. Because through Jesus Christ, those who have been forgiven have been justified. Jesus says in Revelation 3:5 that the one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. One day, those who are justified will stand before God dressed in white robes of purity, not because they are sinless, but because they are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And God will acknowledge that in my book, there is no record of any sin in your life. Come and share in your Father's happiness. There are no blessings greater than the blessing of being justified in the sight of God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the Bible discusses for us some of the blessings of being justified in Christ. And this morning we're going to study through these verses in order to apply these blessings to our lives. First of all, by being justified, we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God. Peace means that we are free from the fear and dread of our sin. We no longer have to walk around with that dark cloud hanging over our heads. But peace also means that now there's this perfect harmony between us and God. See, when a person is in sin, that can't exist. There's no hope for peace with God when sin is in the picture. Because the Bible says that God is a just judge and that He is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. See, when sin is in the picture, there's no peace with God, but there's hostility, there's anger, there's wrath. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything more dreadful than being on the receiving end of the anger and the wrath of God. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace for the wicked." And there can't be any harmony with God in that condition. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. Sin hides His face from us. And sin closes His ear from us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. We have to get sin out of the picture, because as long as sin is in the picture, there cannot be any peace with God. So for those of us who've been justified, we've been set free, everything's been made right, the record has been cleared, and everything has been forgotten. Now that is out of the picture, now this peace can exist, and there's no longer any hostility between us and God. Instead of viewing God as our punisher, we can now view God as our Father and our helper. Now, one thing that's certainly worth pointing out is that the text says we are justified by faith. And it goes without saying that this refers to a living faith and not a dead faith. James 2:24 says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." In other words, a faith that doesn't, when we think about faith, the first thing we think about is believing with conviction. And that's certainly an important part of faith, to believe in God and to believe in Jesus. We also think about trust, trusting God in the everyday aspects of life and being patient and knowing that He will do what is right in His own time. But another element of faith that should never be forgotten is obedience with dedication. And James makes it clear that a faith that is belief only and not obedience is not a faith that can justify. In other words, if that's all the faith that I have, then I'm still in my sin. Now, obviously we recognize that that we're not talking about an obedience that is completely and absolutely perfect, because we recognize that we're not capable of that. It's only Jesus' perfect righteousness that's going to complete all that's lacking in our obedience. But we should have that living faith nonetheless. And all of this is possible through our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is perfect. Jesus told a story about two men who came to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. And the publican stood afar off. He would not raise up his eyes toward heaven. He bowed down and beat upon his chest. And he prayed, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord said that that man went home justified. Justified. He came to the temple feeling that he needed to stand far away. He was too ashamed to draw close to God. He beats his chest because he hates his sin, and probably he hates himself for committing his sin. But he goes home justified because he approached God with humility. And that tells me that he was able to go home with peace, a feeling of closeness to God, able to love God and love himself again. As James 4:6 says, God gives more grace. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So being justified, we have peace with God. Secondly, being justified, we have access to God. Romans 5:2 says, "Through whom," that is through Christ, "also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." You see, because the past is forgotten and sin is out of the picture, and now we have peace with God, we can have access to God, which means that we have the right to speak to Him, and He will hear. He's listening to us. And we have the privilege of being in His presence and living with Him close to us, such that whenever we want to praise Him, He's there. Whenever we want to thank Him, He's there. Whenever we need His help, He's there. We have access to God, open access. Now, just like in a lot of other situations, if you want to get access, you need to know someone on the inside. And we certainly do. It's Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the one who meets us on the outside of the throne room of heaven, who takes us by the hand and leads us into the presence of God. It's through Christ that we have access to God. He's our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5. He's the one that brings us together with God. Ephesians 2:18 says that through Christ we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In Christ we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." You know, the word confidence strikes me there. We're going to enter into the presence of God with boldness and confidence. How can we as sinners do that? We know that we have not earned the right to come boldly and confidently to His throne. It is only by being justified through Christ that we have any sense whatsoever that we can be comfortable in the presence of God. We can come boldly to the throne because it is a throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. And that grace enables us to stand firmly. And in God's grace, when we feel like falling, when we feel like sitting, when we feel like lying down and giving up, God's grace gives us the reason to stand up and stand strong and stand another day. And we can keep on keeping on as long as we have that grace to sustain us and give us this opportunity to be where we don't belong. Back in the spring of 95, Major League Baseball players were on strike. But the owners were determined to start the season. So they threw open the gates and allowed anyone who could scoop a grounder or run out a bunt to come and play Major League Baseball. They couldn't even hire the minor leaguers because they were on strike too. A bunch of men went from coaching Little League 1 week to wearing a Red Sox uniform the next. Now, mind you, they weren't million-dollar arms, and there were no Cadillac bats were anywhere to be seen. One manager said his pitchers threw the ball so slowly that the radar gun couldn't even clock them. Players huffed and puffed as they ran the bases, but I'll tell you what, they had fun. It was a moment of their lives. The diamond was studded with guys who played for the love of the game. And while you didn't see many three-run homers or any frozen rope pickoffs, you could see the tremendous joy of people, these men who were getting the chance of a lifetime. And they knew they didn't deserve it. They knew they didn't belong in the big leagues. And they weren't picked because they were good. And they were just happy to be on the team. In a grander way, isn't that what we're talking about here when we talk about justification? When we talk about access to God and we talk about being able to enter the throne of God with boldness and confidence? We know that we haven't been chosen for this because we've earned the right. It's only through Christ, the justification that's possible through His perfect life, that we have this opportunity. So the first blessing deals with our past. And since our past has been pardoned, we can have peace with God. The second blessing deals with the present. And because we have access to God, we have help for anything that we might need in the present moment. Anybody want to guess where the next blessing will come? You're right. It has to do with the future. Being justified, we have hope from God. Romans 5, verse 2 through verse 5. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. However difficult the present moment may be, and for many of you listening, you may be going through some especially painful and difficult moments in the present. But let's lift our view up above what's happening in the present for just a moment. Let's just sort of take a few deep breaths and just let go of the present moment. And let's look at the situation from a higher point of view. Let's look at it from God's point of view. Let's look down the road and consider what the future holds for those who are justified. This passage says that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Without justification from Jesus, God wouldn't be anywhere near the picture of our future. But because of justification, we can have hope. That's not just a fairy tale. It's not just a fantasy wish. It is a hope that is an anchor of the soul, a confident expectation that if God promised it, it's going to happen. And in this case, it is a promise of the glory of God. So in other words, we have hope that in the future, we are going to see the glory of God. We're going to see the full splendor of His greatness. And that promise for the future can lift us up above the present tribulations, the distress, the afflictions, the trials, the hard times that we go through. We can rejoice even now, even though it's painful, but because we know what lies ahead. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and following says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This passage calls our affliction light. God doesn't underestimate just how painful and difficult it is to go through some of the things that we go through, but He calls it a light affliction because it's light in comparison to the reward that we're going to receive for remaining faithful to God through all that we go through. And He reminds us that any affliction that we face in this life, it's temporary. It's but for a moment. However long it may last here, it can't last forever. And none of those afflictions will follow us into heaven, because there, God takes away all pain, all sickness, all death. He wipes away every tear from their eyes. And this light affliction, which will only last a moment, is working for us an eternal weight of glory. But in order to see that, we have to focus not on the things that are seen, not on the present things, the earthly things, but we have to focus on the things that are not seen. We have to lift our view up above the present distress and see what God has in store. It's interesting the word that Paul uses here when he says we can glory in our tribulations. Tribulation. The word tribulation is based off of the word tribulum. Back in the New Testament times, a tribulum was a heavy piece of timber that had spikes in it. And it would be dragged across the grain after it had been harvested. And it was used for threshing the grain. What it would do, those spikes, as they drug across the grain, they would separate the wheat from the chaff. Paul tells us that if we hang on to our hope, then we can glory in our tribulations. And our tribulations will produce perseverance. And our perseverance will produce character. And our character will strengthen our hope. As we go through these tribulations and we depend on God's grace, trials will only purify us and help us get rid of the chaff in our lives. And we know that hope does not disappoint. that we will never be disappointed by what God has in store. Paul says, we know that hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit reveals to us just how much God loves us now, so that we have already experienced just how wonderful the love of God can be. If we're not disappointed now, then we certainly won't be disappointed then, because heaven has even more in store for us. The best is still yet to come. But then, furthermore, being justified, we are loved by God. Romans 5:6-8 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You can see the love of God in what he did. Christ died. He allowed all of the wrath of God for all of my sin to be poured out on himself. He suffered through hell on earth. He suffered physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. If he had been willing to do that for the godly, that would have been impressive enough. But his love is manifested in this degree, that he was willing to do that for the ungodly, those who were completely undeserving, those who didn't believe in him, those who didn't behave as though they believed in him, who failed to give him the love and the respect that he deserved. His love is not a love that has to be earned. His love is willing to sacrifice and give even toward those who are giving nothing to him. His love is seen in why he did it. He endured the cross to demonstrate God's love for us. If God wanted to show us how much he loves us, he would just point us to Calvary. If there had ever been a time when his love would have grown cold, it would have been there. But it didn't. It's not going to. He did that for us. That's very personal. He did it when we were without strength. We were doomed to hell. We had a debt that we could not pay. We had nothing with which we could save ourselves or bargain with God. We were lost. He gave his love for us. And because of that, we have hope for tomorrow. We are justified. We have been set free. Our record has been set clear, made clear. We can have peace with God. We can have access to God, and we can have hope for the future. We can know that we are loved by God. Friend, if you have not obeyed the gospel to be justified, then we beg and plead with you to make that decision very soon. And if there's any way that we can help you, please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
To my feet and alive.